yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Where glory shines from hearts alive with praise for you and love for you in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here.
Let's pray. Father God, we do indeed believe that you have greater things in store here in this town, in this church, God. And so we ask that you would help all of us to have our eyes open to see where we can be part of that, God. I pray you bless Larry as he shares this morning. Help all of us to continue to overcome our fears and to walk into trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I just sent my wife a text and told her that I love her. It's February and it's getting close to Valentine's Day, and so I just want to let her know that. And I think it's so cool, all the connections we got in this day and age. So anyway, this morning we are going to be continuing our series. Oh, I just got a text. Sandy says, she wonders where we're going for lunch. And then she said, go Eagles! Anyway, I'm going to turn my phone off now so there's no more distractions. Anyway, we are going to be continuing our series on fear this morning. And the goal of these sermons is not to create fear within your heart. It is to point you to the one that we can trust, the one who is faithful, and the one who tells us over and over again in his word to not be afraid and do not fear. So this morning we're going to be talking about the fear of disconnection. So listen to this experience of someone who decided to explore the world of social media, and particularly Facebook. We're going to call this individual Bill. Bill dove right in. He set up a Facebook account. He added friends very quickly, people he'd known over the years, and many friends of friends became his friend on Facebook. Well, he was soon astonished to discover that he had 700 friends. And he had to admit, that was quite a rush. He had a new and enhanced view of his place in this world. But he wondered to himself, just how many of these Facebook friends really translated into traditional friendships. He was a bit of an introvert himself, and so he had mostly kept to himself, focused on his job, but just maybe had underestimated his social abilities. So he decided to put it all to the test. He planned this party to invite all of his Facebook friends to try to help to convert his digital friends into real life, in the flesh friends. So he went ahead and invited all of his 700 connections to a local coffee shop. People could respond that they were attending, they could respond maybe they were attending, they could respond not attending. So he watched as people responded. He watched as if it were election night. 15 people said, yes, I'll be there. 60 other people said, maybe I'll be there. There's a number of people who said, nope, I won't be there. And there was a large number of people who didn't even respond at all. Well, he crunched the numbers and he decided that he could reasonably expect 20 friends to show up. So he was ecstatic. And he showered, dressed in his very best, as he prepared to put his best foot forward and meet many of his Facebook friends. It almost felt like a first date. As he walked down the street to the local coffee shop, found a seat, sat down, and waited. Then he waited some more. And then he waited some more. Lo and behold, a friend arrived, who happened to be a friend of a friend. So they made a little awkward conversation, and that friend soon decided it was time for them to leave. But Bill sat there all night until midnight, wondering, where are all of my 700 friends? We live in a world today where there are so many ways, this is one of them, to connect with other people. And yet possibly we live in a period of time where people feel more disconnected and possibly lonely than ever before. Here's something for you to think about. Dr. Jeremiah, in his book, What Are You Afraid Of? And I quote, this is what he said, I quote, Americans today will most likely meet more people in 1 year than our great-grandparents met over the course of their entire life. But in spite of our vast number of encounters with others, most Americans are far lonelier than our great-grandparents ever were, unquote. There is this huge difference, I believe, between being alone and between being lonely. In our society today, we're surrounded by people on our jobs, we're surrounded by people on the highway as we drive, we're surrounded by people when we go grocery shopping, we're surrounded by people on Sunday morning when we come to church, etc. So we are often physically close to large numbers of people. In our world today, the number of people who live without the support of a family or a community of believers like is gathered here this morning is unprecedented. And you don't need to go very far outside the walls of this building till you find people who are in those shoes. Many of the ways of connecting today have replaced face-to-face interaction and conversation. I believe that we have been created by God to live and thrive in personal relationships. And whether you want to believe it or not, numbers of studies have been done about the effects of the internet and all of these fantastic ways of communicating via social media. I have been known to say that one of the next crises that we'll be facing here in America is the fact that people will not know how to have face-to-face communication. I see a time coming, and maybe it's already here, that employers will need to provide their employees with training on how to have face-to-face interaction and conversation with one another, because people will not know how to do that. Now, I do understand that electronic connections and communication can be very, very beneficial. If I need to communicate to the projector operator or to the sound operator or to the worship leader, I can very easily pick up my phone, shoot them a text, and I can communicate with them while I'm sitting there in the front pew, and most of you have no idea that anything took place. But I also believe very strongly that we were created by God to be in personal relationships. First of all, personal relationship with God himself, and next, personal face-to-face interaction with other people. In Genesis chapter 3, we read about the fall of man and God seeking Adam and Eve after they had sinned. Genesis 3:9 says, "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?'" I believe these scriptures indicate God's deep desire to have fellowship with humanity who he has created in his image. Now, we all know that going without food and water can physically kill a human body. But the lack of personal, face-to-face relationships and interaction will kill the mind and the spirit. Jesus taught in parables, and in two related parables, in Luke 15, he tells of a man finding a lost sheep and of a woman finding a lost coin. After recovering their losses, both of these individuals invite their friends to rejoice with them. And though human connection is not the primary point of these parables, they do show a natural aspect of human nature. We as human beings have a powerful need to share our experiences with others, to have someone rejoice with us in the good times, and also someone to share comfort with us in the difficult times of life. Although we may live in a time where disconnection or the fear of loneliness is widespread, I think that we can find biblical examples of disconnection and or being alone. Joseph's brother sold him into slavery into Egypt, and he was disconnected from his family, and he probably experienced many lonely times in prison. Perhaps the best example is David, who experienced times of disconnection, especially when King Saul was stalking him like an animal because of David's growing popularity. David sometimes expressed his loneliness in his psalms. Psalm 25:16 says, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." And in Psalm 142, written by David when he was hiding from Saul in a cave, Psalm 142 verse 4 says, "Look to my right and see. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life." perhaps there has been a time in your life, or maybe times in your life, where you've felt like no one cares about you. Last Sunday, Carl reminded us that all the promises of the Bible are true. This includes scripture verses like Joshua 1:9, which is just one of the many scriptures telling us that our God will be with us. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We know in our heads that God has promised that he's always going to be there no matter what life may bring our way. I also believe that we as human beings have a need for close personal relationships with other human beings, and more importantly, with other Christ followers. Simply coming to church on a Sunday morning may not be enough to create and cultivate close connections. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need to gather as a corporate body and participate in worshiping our God together. We do this, first of all, to honor and worship God, and secondly, to receive encouragement from other Christ followers. So the question for each one of us this morning is, do you offer words of encouragement to others as we gather for corporate worship on a Sunday morning? Dr. Jeremiah makes this statement in his book, and I quote again, "One of the great omissions in the life of the average American Christian is the failure to cultivate close companions in the faith. In nations where Christianity is outlawed, restricted, or persecuted, Christians survive by means of hidden, underground relationships with other believers. They must remain connected to one another in order to remain strong and courageous in Christ in spite of opposition." Unquote. It seems to me that we have much to learn from the persecuted church around the world. And that church is currently suffering severe persecution. I also happen to believe that right here in the United States of America, we may one day experience severe persecution for our faith. I believe that God wants each one of his children to have a deep personal relationship, first of all, with him, with God through his son Jesus Christ, but also believe that he wants each one of his children to be connected to a body of believers where there is encouragement from other believers to remain faithful. Faithful to God, and also to receive encouragement to serve him with our very best. So for the rest of our time together this morning, I would like to take a look at a few of the one another verses in Scripture. And this is by no means an exhaustive list. But I believe that when we put these one another scriptures into practice, they can be a very, very powerful antidote against feeling disconnected or lonely. So number one, encourage one another, Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. The writer of Hebrews tells us, as Christ followers, to encourage one another daily. This indicates to me that we are to regularly encourage one another. It seems to me that in order to encourage one another regularly, it means that we need to be connected to a body of believers. And while some may need more encouragement than others, we must be there for one another through thick and thin. And I believe that you as a congregation do a fantastic job in that. But I believe we also need to be continually reminded to turn away from sin and stay focused on Christ. The Hebrew writer is urging Christians to be alert themselves and to encourage others as well. We need encouragement from our brothers and sisters. We also need those times when they come along beside of us and possibly point out some things in our lives that may not be lining up. So, how open are you to correction or rebuke from a brother or sister? We all need daily encouragement to keep moving forward in our relationship with Christ. Number two, build one another up. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 to 11. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Our goal as Christ followers should be to build one another up, not to tear one another down. I believe we can build one another up when we share our personal journeys of life and our faith in God with each other, and we begin to understand that we're not alone in our struggles. Many of the experiences that we have in our lives, many other people share those same kind of struggles. And we need each other to build each other up, to encourage each other as we navigate through this maze called life. You know, it seems like sometimes in a school, in the classroom setting, the students who are encouraged the most or receive the most encouragement are the ones that do the best in school. So maybe the same can be applied to church life. The ones that receive a lot of encouragement are the ones who do the best in the walk with the Lord. Number three, love one another. John 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You and I, as disciples of Jesus, are commanded to love one another. with a deep, genuine, and tender love. And the kind of love that I'm speaking about is a biblical 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. And I happen to believe that you can only have that kind of love for others when you yourself have personally experienced God's love for you. Oh yeah, you can pretend. You can pretend to love everybody. That's easy to do. But I think Jesus' words here in John 13 are very, very clear. When he says to us, we are to love others as he has loved us. When we have this deep, when we have this genuine love for others, the Bible says, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Jesus was a living example to us of God's love for us. And we need to be living examples of this same love. And we do that as we love one another. It's an example to the world around us. 4, be devoted to one another and honor one another, Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves. To honor someone means to give a person high value and respect. We honor one another because we are all created in God's image, and God doesn't make junk. Everyone has high value. And we need to honor one another above ourselves. Bear with one another, Colossians 3:12 to 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. It seems to me that the key to forgiving others is to remember how much God has forgiven you. From a human standpoint, there are two options. One is to forgive. The other one is to hate. Now you may think that's very strong language. You may think or believe that you don't hate anyone. But if you allow unforgiveness to gain a foothold in your heart, I believe it gives space, as it says in Hebrews 12:5, that causes trouble and defiles many. So my question for each one of you this morning is, are you holding a grudge against anyone? Only the Holy Spirit can speak to you about that. But if you hear the Spirit speaking to you about that, please make sure you take care of that before you leave this building this morning. And the last one, spur one another on, Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We're all on this journey together. We're all striving and pressing on towards the goal of eternal life. And as this scripture says, let's consider how we can spur one another on. Now, someone who rides horses knows that a spur is a piece of metal that digs into a horse's side to urge them to go forward. Now, I'm not asking you to do that. But find a way this morning, before you leave, find a way this morning to say at least one word of encouragement to someone. Someone. You may be surprised what kind of effect that has on that individual. So let's consider ways this morning that we can encourage one another. You, me, we need one another. And we all need Jesus. So let's encourage one another. Let's build one another up. Let's love one another. Let's be devoted to one another and honor one another. Let's bear with one another and forgive one another, and let's spur one another on. Because again, I believe that when we practice these one another's, they can be very powerful antidotes to disconnection and loneliness. Let's pray. Almighty God, we do indeed thank you today for your love for each one of us, forgiven us. And I just pray this morning, if there's anyone here today who is feeling disconnected and lonely today, I pray that you would speak to their hearts and they would know your presence with them. And also pray that you would motivate us as a congregation, as a body of believers here at Bowmanville, to encourage one another, to spur one another on, because that's what you tell us to do. So I pray for this congregation, and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you would pour out your many, many blessings as you have been doing. And you would help us to be faithful in following you and encouraging one another. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns.
So thank you, Barry, for sharing that update with us. And where is it? Like Barry said, there's a letter in your mailboxes this morning to give you an update of what's happening in their lives and what they're going to be doing. And if you'll notice at the bottom of this letter, there's a note from myself, just so you understand that Bowmansville Mennonite Church is planning to support the Brubaker family financially with one offering a year. That offering will be received April 22nd here. And if you would feel led by the Lord to support them individually, you are welcome to do that. And to do that, contact Barry and Michelle, and they will give you the information of how you can go about doing that. And also, we will be having a potluck lunch on March the 4th, the last Sunday that they will be with us. We're going to be having a potluck lunch, and note in your bulletin about that. Plus, that Sunday morning, we're going to have a little prayer and sending and commissioning, whatever you want to call it, for the Brubaker family. So just so you know what's happening, those are in the plans, and that's what's going to be happening. Also want to call your attention to the letter that was placed in your mailbox last Sunday from the Youth Pastor Discernment Team. There's a note there. And you can read that. There's a job description. And if the Lord lays upon your heart the name of someone that you would like to be considered for the youth pastor role, please contact me and let me know that. And the Youth Pastor Discernment Team will consider that name. Also, I want to remind you that next Sunday is the last day to register for Stewardship University, which is going to be happening on March the 3rd. And if you've never been to Stewardship University, I encourage you to take a look at that brochure that was put in your mailboxes of all the different workshops that cover an incredible amount of information and very helpful workshops for you to learn about many, many different things. And also, there's a TNT newsletter, a prayer letter, here on the front table. And Todd asked if I would share to you the purpose of this prayer letter is to keep you updated on what's happening on Friday nights here at the TNT Youth Center. And to give you specific prayer requests that come directly from the children that attend. And there's no names attached to those prayer requests, but there's situations where you can be praying specifically about that particular situation. Because the staff at TNT believes that through the prayers of you all, lives can be changed and transformed by God. And simply because they need your prayers. Pray for the kids, pray for the staff, and pray that God's truth would be made known through the staff to these young lives that are attending the youth center. So Todd's going to be having a new prayer letter every Sunday morning that the youth center is open on Friday night. The prayer letter will be available because there's a huge turnover of kids that come. Different people every Friday night. So there's a stack of newsletters up here. Please come forward and get one so you can be in prayer for the TNT Youth Center. Also, I think we should remember Alvin Good this morning as he's scheduled for heart surgery on Tuesday at LGH. So we're just going to have a word of prayer for him as he faces surgery, and also have a closing benediction. So if you would stand, I see it's beginning to precipitate outside, so you may want to get home whenever. So let's just pause for a word of prayer and then have a benediction. Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your deep, deep love for us. I pray especially for Alvin Good this morning as he's facing open heart surgery on Tuesday. I pray, Father God, you would surround him with your peace, with your presence. We pray that you would guide the doctor's hands as they perform the surgery, and we do pray for successful surgery. Now would you receive this benediction? Go in the spirit of Jesus, who proclaimed God's loving care. Where there is illness or injury, may there be healing. Where there is loneliness and isolation, may there be companionship and renewed community. Where there is conflict and broken relationship, may God's peace be restored. God bless you. Go in peace.